You are tuned to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. More and more visitors are touching down in the islands. This past Saturday saw some 28,000 travelers arrive in the state. Lieutenant Governor Josh Green oversaw the launch of the Safe Travels program, which was about 5 months ago. And now more people are starting to get vaccinated against the COVID-19 virus, and we're learning that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is now being distributed. How best to manage our visitor industry and keep our cases in check? We talked to the Lieutenant Governor this morning.
You know, we did our 550,000th shot yesterday, plus another 75,000 from the military, so we're almost halfway there. And it's just going to continue to accelerate. I mean, now we're getting a lot more vaccine because next week the Johnson & Johnson starts pouring in. And it's just, it's just going to keep improving, basically.
I did talk to someone from the Department of Health, and they said, yeah, they weren't expecting any vaccines this week, but we did get a shipment, apparently, I think of like 1,700 doses. So I think that's being disseminated. But yeah, and I think even on the Big Island, I think the news is that they're starting to maybe offer the vaccine to, I think, 50 and above. So
it's amazing. Yeah, and it's funny because we asked the Department of Health to move to 55 to 64 effective next Monday, and we'll see. They may still do it. But the fact is the counties where they're more rural and they have extra spaces, they're doing it of their own accord. So you're seeing the very natural movement of the vaccine program moving forward, and because there's so much communication now on TV and radio and internet, it's just possible. You know, it can actually be done. So, you know, it's exciting. You watch. By the time we touch May 1st, and mark my words, when we are on May 1st, we will have done 900,000 shots with the state and another 100,000 with the military. We'll be at 1 million shots delivered. And that's a ton of immunity. It won't be herd immunity, but it's a ton of immunity.
And this week, you know, last week, we are starting to see the numbers of visitors bump up. The higher vaccine rates and the availability, you know, coinciding with all these tourists coming in, you know, what do you see? You know, we're talking about, what, a vaccination passport or some kind of record to be able to allow more visitors to come through here?
I do see that. That's absolutely critical. And that's what the whole nation and the world is going to do. So surely we should lead the way if we can. What we'll see is come May, June, July, people will be able to demonstrate they've been vaccinated, and that will be sufficient for travel. It's really not that complicated. It's a better way to demonstrate safety and health than even a test, a pre-test, which did work when that's all we had available to us, you know, back in October. But, you know, what could be better than knowing that people are essentially immune? And we'll still tell them to wear masks. There's no question. But that's the way to go. And it's not just for travel. It's also for events. If you want to have a wedding with 300 people, you show that everyone's vaccinated. You make the case. If you want to have a big event like a marathon, again, if everyone's immune, you don't have to worry about an outbreak. So as public health goes, this is the way.
And what can you tell us about, you know, how that might get implemented? We're hearing that there may be some announcement from the governor's office soon.
Yeah, well, we're working with a couple companies, and these guys, what they have to do is they have to have the technology to be able to look into databases that are just showing whether or not a person's been vaccinated and match that with their identifiers, like their name and birth date. And what sounds pretty simple is actually quite complicated, especially if you're talking about multiple states, multiple systems. There's the VAM system, which is the federal and national system, which should be helpful. But we have First Vitals that we work with here. It'll be great to have our own people have this, because these are the individuals that are going to be traveling to the mainland to see their parents and grandparents and do business and then come back. We want that to be seamless. But also the 5, 6, 7 million travelers, which are going to start coming back to Hawaii for vacations again, we need to get this together. Now, if you just ask me, is it sufficient to show a card with a signature? Yeah, it would be good. And we will inform people that if they break the rules, they'll be subject to a misdemeanor, which is up to $5,000 fine and a year in jail. Very few people will do that. But even so, backing up with technology is good for convenience. And so we're working on this, and it's not just this little company here in Hawaii. It's also some of these national folks. I think they're called Common Pass, Verifly, and others, Clear. They're doing a lot of good work. So technically, yes, it's a challenge. Practically, it's not that big a deal, and we should be ahead of everyone. They're doing it in Israel. They're doing it in Iceland. They're now doing it all across Europe, and there is pressure on the federal government to get it done by June 1st. So I'm hopeful that this can happen. Either way, we should prepare ourselves to have more travelers who are vaccinated and therefore safe. But meanwhile, I want to get all of our own people vaccinated, preferably by the end of May. You know, we get through most people, and then by July 1st, there should be no reason that we haven't vaccinated everybody who wants it, which means that people ask when things are going to be normal. They won't be totally normal, but we will be one heck of a lot safer by July 4th weekend.
So getting back to those vaccines, right now we're in the 1C category, the priority being given to hotel workers in the different categories, you know, because the tourists are coming back. And, you know, the hoteliers want the workers to report to work as more of these hotel rooms are filled.
That's right. So, and if I may amend just slightly, priority still is the 65 and older individuals at the top of the 1C category. But yes, as businesses go, the hotel workers, the restaurants, and the bars, because that's where spread will occur if there's any spread. And we want to get car manufacturers done, and we want to get hairdressers done, and we want to get everybody vaccinated in these front-facing businesses where they have risk of catching it. But the highest risk will be at hotels and at restaurants once we start seeing a lot more travelers. And as you started off talking about, we have seen more travelers in the last week because of spring break. So we were used to getting about 12,000 or maybe 13,000 people traveling in a day. That had been the reset baseline. And now it was 20,000 travelers a day this last week. So things are still fine. We're actually better as far as positivity rate than any other state in the whole country. But we don't want to let this ever get away from us. You know, we're doing two things at the same time. We're vaccinating our people to be safe, and we're restoring hope with our economy. And they cross over and touch one another quite a lot every day.
And so what about testing? How does that fit in?
Still the same. We still want to be testing. We're testing an average of 5,000 people a day still. And it was an excellent process. They did a great job on Big Island testing upon arrival. That will be replaced by the vaccination passport. That's much more relevant going forward. We still want to be testing within our communities, though, because, as you know, there is still some community spread. We're seeing a bit of a hot spot on Maui right now. Their average has been 25 cases per day over the last 7 days, which, just so people know, was exactly their average right after Christmas New Year's. They have the same average as they did then, but that was a small surge, and they've had a similar surge here this last few weeks, and it's being reflected in the hospitals. There's more patients in Maui in the hospital than there is in the rest of the state. So we have to have that fire kind of die out, but testing is valuable in these settings. But mass testing is not necessary any longer. The most important thing to do is wear a mask and socially distance and get vaccinated. You do those three things, this all ends. And so that's where I'm focusing my attention, and I'm just excited every week to be able to announce about another 100,000 shots have been given. Makes a big difference month over month.
We did see the vaccination rollout for our teachers, and that's been a big deal as we try and get the kids all back into the classroom. Private schools, I know, have been face-to-face ahead of the curve, you know, compared to the public schools, just because sure. of, you know, their numbers are smaller. And then we saw the CDC guidelines come out about the 3 feet spacing versus the 6 feet spacing. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are this has been a process I've never seen before. There's policy being made in real time, and that is a challenge, but it was shown that there was less transmission of the virus in schools rather than out of schools for kids. Therefore, they were able to move into schools with a 3 feet distance. The main thing for me was to make sure our educators were vaccinated, because I didn't want a 55-year-old school teacher in you know, Mililani getting infected. That was dangerous for me. I didn't want to see that happen across our state. So we got our educators vaccinated, so they're safe. There will be some cases in schools between our keiki, but it's not that worrisome. We sent our 10-year-old Sammy back to public school 10 days ago. It's been great, thank goodness. But Maya, who was at a private school or is at a private school, went back all the way in September, and that was an incredible benefit for her. So everyone should be able to have these opportunities to be in the classroom. But yeah, it's safe. It's as long as we prioritize our educators and keep them safe, I don't worry too much. And we have to get every kid back to school. We certainly have to do what we can now to save the fourth quarter of school that starts, I believe, in about a week after spring break. Get them back in the classrooms, most of the kids, and then absolutely have a good summer school process, and the fall should be normal. We shouldn't have any hesitation about having our kids in school full-time anywhere in the state. That's very important, because children and their development, doesn't get to be redone. You don't get a second chance at development for kids. So a 7-year-old who didn't have time with his favorite or her favorite teacher missed out on a lot of growth. And we can't have another year go by.
We talked to two private schools who have actually started on-campus testing. Kamehameha Schools, I believe, was the first. Iolani is also doing that. They're doing a spit test, I think, or an antigen test. So obviously they have the resources. They've got smaller numbers on their campuses. But they've been able to manage and keep the numbers down.
They have, and they've done a great job with it. Really, most of their success is because they mask up religiously. And on Iolani's campus, where my daughter goes, it's unbelievable. It's like they do at the Pentagon. It's amazing how much tracking and how much discipline they have to keep the spread from occurring. But being able to back it up with a test so that they don't see a hotspot form is really valuable. And Dr. Miskovich did a great job with that in different places across the state. You know, the State Department of Health has been doing a lot of testing, of course, thousands of tests every day. It's been working. It's just that people have to get used to a different process. And getting used to new things is difficult, especially in a short time frame. But we have no choice. We have to absolutely open our schools. We have to open our businesses. So we have to have the vaccine passport so the state is safe and open. We have to have testing when needed. We had all those extra free tests at the schools. And this time next year, people will begin to forget about COVID. It's actually hard to believe, but it will be the case. That's what's always happened. But we still don't want to see another summer like we did before. I mean, summer was our worst time. We let down our guard, we saw a big surge, and we paid for it at the end of August and September with significant hospitalizations and loss of life. This time around, we shouldn't have that same process because we'll have a million shots already delivered, actually more than that by July 1st, 1.5 million shots. But you could still see some outbreaks if a variant is here, if we are really silly and we don't wear masks at all. So this is the time to kind of double down on safety and get vaccinated. Then we can restore just what we loved about Hawaii, which was being together with our families and friends.
And part of that is sports. You know, here in Honolulu, right, the rules have relaxed a bit more, so we can have more athletics for our young people.
We can, and we should. It's funny because I was an athlete during high school, and I remember how important that was, not because I ended up on a scholarship or anything like that, but because that is part of life when you're 17 and 16 years old. It's critical. So it's like losing the opportunity to have a first birthday. It's a milestone in life. Losing a spring season for a team is a milestone in life. And some of these things were sacrificed for the good of many. But we also have to realize that we can't keep missing these life opportunities. Can't keep putting weddings off. My goodness, funerals, that was a huge challenge. So all of these things have to be restored, and sports are right there in the middle of it. My team worked quite closely with Mr. Amamiya and the mayor and, you know, a lot of the smaller organizations that wanted to institute some testing protocols, and they're able to do it now. Frankly, sports are not a big concern, and among adolescents, I'm not worried because the disease itself is not very severe. I would worry more if we were seeing opening of events that affected our kupuna. That we don't want to do. So we don't want to test fate by having, you know, large gatherings of our kupuna. Even though they're now vaccinated, an unlucky outbreak there would be more consequential. But an outbreak, if it occurred, and it shouldn't, in a sporting team would really not hurt anybody.
And, you know, are you concerned at all just with the timing of spring break and, you know, the opening of bars as far as the transmission? Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I mean, I realize that we really hurt that industry incredibly, and I feel for them. And I actually kind of fought behind the scenes to have some sensible plans for bars, mainly that we pay their overhead. If you're going to shut down any industry, you should pay their overhead, their costs. We should give them tax breaks for their liquor licenses and everything else associated with their losses. So that has to be sorted out. However, all of society can't be risked based on one or two industries. And so we have to really just strike a balance. But yeah, bar goers, if they're traveling, bar hopping, they could spread the disease. Usually visitors don't tend to mingle with local residents very much, but there is some of that, and we have to be careful. Now, keep in mind, if people got here for spring break, they had to be tested. They got a test within 72 hours. They are negative, but nothing's perfect. So I'm watching it closely every day, 6-8 times a day. I'm checking the numbers, making sure that our hospitals are okay and that our counts aren't surging. If we see a big surge, we'll pull back. If we keep it fairly steady, we'll just keep vaccinating until we're safe.
All right. Well, Lieutenant Governor Josh Green, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.